Let's read together Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6. In this first section of Genesis 39, Joseph is sold as a slave to an Egyptian official named Potiphar. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Let's start with a few background notes. Genesis 38 is like a parenthesis in the Joseph story. The Joseph story begins in Genesis 37. In Genesis 38, we have the account of Judah and his sin with Tamar. Judah's action is in great contrast to the faithfulness of Joseph. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit included the story of Judah at this point, to highlight the faith of Joseph. So now in Genesis 39, we resume the story of Joseph. In verse 1, we see that Joseph was sold by the Ishmaelite traders to an Egyptian named Potiphar. Potiphar appears to have been a high-ranking official of the Pharaoh because he was captain of the guard, probably Pharaoh's personal bodyguards. That means that Potiphar would have had a large home and many servants. Well, it isn't long before Joseph's abilities and hard work and integrity are noticed. And so Potiphar elevates Joseph and makes him overseer of his whole household, as we see there in verse 4. This meant that Joseph was over all the other servants. This meant that Joseph was the purchasing agent for the whole estate. This meant that Joseph made all the administrative decisions for the household. This was quite some position. It would be like running a small, successful business today. And remember, Joseph was probably still only a teenager. You remember, he came down to Egypt when he was 17 years old, Genesis 37, verse 2. Now, verse 6 says that Joseph was over everything except for the food which Potiphar ate. Well, this may reflect the practice of the Egyptians not to eat with non-Egyptians, as we read in Genesis 43 and verse 32. The Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. So maybe that's what's being reflected here in verse 6. But on the other hand, verse 6 may be a figurative expression, meaning that Joseph was so capable that Potiphar didn't have to concern himself about anything except showing up for meals. Well, so much for our background notes for this section. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. We're going to have two doctrinal points about God's plan for the believer's life. So doctrinal point number one, God's plan for the believer's life will include unexpected blessings. God's plan for the believer's life will include unexpected blessings. In verse 2, we read that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And then in verse 5, we read that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So Joseph was blessed, and in turn, the pagan household of Potiphar was blessed. Now, all of this blessing was somewhat unexpected. I mean, if you had told Joseph when he was pleading with his brothers not to betray him, that he would be blessed in Egypt, and that he would be a blessing to the pagan Egyptians. I mean, that would have been hard for Joseph to believe. But the unexpected happened. And what was the key? The key is in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was faithful to the Lord, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord blessed Joseph and everything he touched. It was like the Midas touch. Call it the Joseph touch. Not gold, but blessing. Well, you know, the same is true for the believer today. If you as a believer are faithful to the Lord as Joseph was, the Lord will be with you and you will be blessed and others will be blessed as a result. No exceptions. And many of these blessings will be unexpected for you and for others. The blessing on your life will flow out even to unbelievers. You may be called to lie sick on a hospital bed, for example. Now, you don't expect to find blessing there, but you will. You will find the unexpected blessing of the Lord's close presence and the unexpected blessing of doctors and nurses and other patients being blessed because of your testimony. You may lose a job and find the unexpected blessing of other Christians helping you out and the unexpected blessing of a non-Christian coming to faith because of the way you handled the situation. All kinds of unexpected blessings. I mean, losing a job does not seem like a blessing. But if you're walking with the Lord, faithful to the Lord, you will be blessed, even in those kinds of situations. God's plan for the believer's life will include unexpected blessings. You know, just this week, I received a form letter from the ministry Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis is located in Kentucky, and for several months now, they've been trying to get permission to build a Genesis museum there. But the county planning commission has turned them down because of their creationist position. This has been a great disappointment. And yet there's been unexpected blessings. They've had tremendous media coverage because of this. And as a result, many, many people have come to know about this ministry, Answers in Genesis. And they've gotten free advertisement as a result. And Christians have been united as a result. Unexpected blessings, a great disappointment because they've been turned down. Thus far, the story's not over yet. But even with this disappointment, they have unexpected blessings. God's plan for the believer's life will include unexpected blessings. Doctrinal or teaching point number 2. God's plan for the believer's life may include unexpected detours. God's plan for the believer's life may include unexpected detours. Do you remember the dreams that Joseph had about his brother's sheaves bowing down to his sheaf and the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him? Joseph knew that these dreams were from God, and he knew that they would come true. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Joseph now began to think how God was going to let this happen. After all, he was Potiphar's chief steward. And as Potiphar's chief steward, he would eventually probably be given his freedom, so he might have thought. He would continue to be very successful in Egyptian society. He would then visit his father and brothers, and it would be obvious to them that he had become very successful. You see, the way Joseph may have been thinking how God was going to fulfill these prophetic dreams. Now, whether Joseph thought this way or not, we can't be sure, but it would be most logical. But it was not to be that way. Little did Joseph know that within a short time, he would be in prison. And not for anything wrong that he had done, but as a result of being faithful. Well, the good news here is that Joseph did not quit. He did not give up the faith. Joseph realized that this was not a dead end, only a detour. An unexpected detour, yes, but only a detour, not a dead end. God's plan for the believer's life may include unexpected detours. The Apostle Paul had a number of unexpected detours in his life. In his letter to the Christians at Rome, Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 13, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now." Unexpected detour. And little did Paul realize that when he did get to Rome, it would be as a prisoner. But God had reasons for this detour. From that prison situation, Paul wrote four books of the Bible, the so-called prison epistles. Maybe you've had some unexpected detours lately. Maybe like Joseph, you thought you finally saw how God was working things out in his plan for your life. But now everything has changed. You can't figure it out. Listen, don't quit. Don't waver in your faith. Detours are not dead ends. God has his reason for the detours, as we'll see in Joseph's life. God's plan for the believer's life may include unexpected detours. Let's move on now to practical application. Practical application number one. If you're a Christian, you should make a better employee. If you're a Christian, you should make a better employee. Joseph was a great employee here. Joseph was only a slave, but he was honest and industrious and hardworking. Any employer today would love to have Joseph as an employee. Well, you know, the same should be true in our lives. If we're Christians, we should be better employees. There should be no question as to our honesty and integrity and hard work. Joseph did not take long coffee breaks or borrow, quote unquote, company property. We should be like Joseph. And if we're faithful believers, in some way God's blessing in our lives will spill over to our employers, maybe even in material prosperity. I had an employer once tell me that his business was being blessed because I was a Christian. Well, I felt like saying, well, if you've been so blessed, how about a good-sized raise? I didn't say that, though. Seriously speaking, if you're a Christian, you should make a better employee. Practical application number two. Use your blessings as a witness to unbelievers. Use your blessings as a witness to unbelievers. Verse 3, once again. And his master, Joseph's master, saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Wait a minute. I thought Potiphar was a pagan Egyptian worshiping foreign gods. He was. Well, how come he's talking about the Lord here in verse 3? Well, take a guess. Joseph has been witnessing to Potiphar. Joseph took the Lord's blessings on his life and used them as a witness to Potiphar. We should do the same. If you're walking with the Lord, there will be blessing on your life and unbelievers will notice. Now use that blessing as a witness to these unbelieving contexts that you have. Even the blessing of joy can be used as a witness. If you're walking with the Lord, you will have the joy of the Lord. And non-Christians will see that joy. And they will ask, how come you have a smile on your face? How come you have that joy? Well, now there's your opportunity. Don't just say, well, I'm so joyful because all my favorite teams in the NFL are winning in the playoffs. I hope you don't say that. Use it as an opportunity to witness. Use your blessings as a witness to unbelievers.